If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the launching voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Indeed, that is what I am.
You've been lifting yourself off. Not quite. You've been launching centres.
We have indeed, yes. For GK Icon, of course, this podcast is sponsored by GK Icon. But the coaching schools we run, we have opened a couple more centres in recent weeks. We opened Stevenage, we opened one in Weybridge as well. It's all going pretty nicely. So, yeah, if you guys have got kids and you want to look at a goalkeeper centre, then look up GK Icon Academies.
So the purpose of these centres and the reason you launched them, this is purely for children moving upwards, or you've got all age ranges?
All age ranges. So the idea behind it was just to be able to put some of the ideas, philosophies that we've got, the idea of the modern goalkeeper, and be able to impact goalkeepers at a younger age. I guess it's something that I wish I'd have had when I was a bit younger. That was the thinking behind it. Initially, we've been going a long time now. We're certainly in a place now where we are opening more and more centres, real high quality centres, fantastic coaches. It's a very simple concept, but we just get top level coaches, the best pitches that we can possibly get, ordinarily 3G, 4G. We operate 50 weeks of the year. And yeah, today it's been great. We have four lads that have gone professional so far throughout the academies, which is good. A lot that have gone to pro clubs at younger age groups as well. But more importantly, it's just the fact that, of course, goalkeeper coaching, even now, there isn't enough of it at younger age groups, I find. So just to have the ability to go and play for your team at the weekend and feel that little bit more confident because you've learnt a lot of the specific skills that you need to be a goalkeeper.
Okay, and for those listening that would like to get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, GK Icon Academies.com, I think it is, or .co.uk. But yeah, GK Icon Academies. And we do have centres all over the world now, in America, New Zealand, but obviously mainly in the UK. And we'll be growing a lot over the next year or two.
Top stuff. Failing that, you can get in touch with us, of course, at GK Union on Twitter or hello at goalkeepersunion.net. Okay, now we did a podcast last time out. It was the first time you'd returned since you fled across the Atlantic to the US. Now, we didn't bring up the fact that when you fled, Kepa had been replaced by Willy Caballero. By the time you got back, he still hadn't regained his place. He finally has done now, played against Liverpool and in the game against Everton this weekend as well. Two clean sheets on the bounce. He's back in business.
He is. It's kind of worked out perfectly for him in many ways, in that the time that he was away, Willy Caballero did fine, but you'd argue not necessarily enough to really stake a proper claim. And you always felt at some point, given that Kepa is the most expensive goalkeeper, the board will have wanted him to play. And I'm sure that Frank Lampard at some point would have wanted to bring him back in. And credit to him, he's come back in, he's looked sharp, he's made saves, clean sheet. So it's been very, very good in fairness for, and the game itself, certainly the game against Everton. Everton was so poor, didn't really test him all that much. But it's been a really nice way to reintroduce himself. But he does look slightly different to what he did before. And I think that little break, sometimes, for me, that's exactly what a young goalkeeper needs. And let's not forget, yeah, he might be the most expensive. He is still young in goalkeeping terms. So he'll still be learning how to get through tough stages that you have from time to time. And you just feel this small break will have done him good.
Yep, he came in and did exactly what I want. So he's given me good thinking. That's what Frank Lampard said. There are reports, apparently, he's on the radar of Real Madrid, Kepa. Chelsea are eyeing a move for Ter Stegen of Barcelona, of course. Andre Onana, Gigi Donnarumma. Dean Henderson as well has been mooted. Henderson, of course, with his 10th clean sheet at the weekend against Norwich. And it's not about the clean sheets. We know that. Well, it kind of is, but we don't like to focus too much on it. We've got to talk about the celebrations and the heroics at the end, a triple, quadruple, whatever you want to call it, save.
Yeah, look, and this is, so Dean Henderson, the more that I'm watching him, I'm really enjoying watching him play. He looks like he's improving all the time. Still a few aspects of his game that I'm sure he'll be looking to work on and take to the next level. But for his age, the confidence that he shows and the enjoyment that he has for playing the position, I think it's something that all young goalkeepers can look at. You can be like that. It is a choice. It's not something you're necessarily born with. If you are great, but to go out there and be confident in your own ability, to work harder than anybody else, to work on the areas you can be that little bit better. And when I watch Dean Henderson, look, for those that follow him on social media, he is very confident. And I really like that about him. And I think if you're going to be a goalkeeper playing at the top level, you need to have that and you need to enjoy what you do. Dean Henderson, you saw it. He makes that save, ridiculous save. And he's there jumping up, celebrating. You can see what it means to him, to those around him. You need to have that mentality to be at the top level. And it doesn't surprise me that he's being linked with the likes of Chelsea and several other teams. You know, there's so many things that are going to happen in the goalkeeping market this summer, and no doubt we'll be touching on them throughout the summer. But, you know, you look at United's situation where you've got De Gea, who's certainly coming back into form. You've got De Gea, you've got Romero, you've got Henderson, three top-class goalkeepers there. Chelsea, if they do want to move Kepa on, they're going to play it very cleverly. They're going to play him for the rest of the season. No doubt he'll finish the season strong. They'll then be able to do a deal whereby they at least get a lot of the money back that they paid for him, maybe bring in someone they want to bring in, maybe the potential for a swap deal. There's so much that you feel is going to happen there as well. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of the top clubs having a little bit of a shuffle when it comes to their goalkeepers.
Nice moment after the game as well between Henderson and Tim Krul. Tim Krul seemed to be saying, how on earth did you manage to keep that out? And they were in the middle of the pitch and Henderson was gesticulating. I think Krul even said, you know, I would have just ploughed right through you. And nice to see Dean Henderson actually do an interview after the game. That's quite rare. His manager, Chris Wilder, also did an interview. And you have to say that maybe, speaking of Henderson's confidence that you alluded to there, I think that Chris Wilder was maybe just trying to bring him down a peg or two, maybe some mind games going on. But here is what he said about Henderson's save after the game.
That's what he's there for, make a couple of saves. Has he got man of the match? By the way, he's only made a couple of saves. He hasn't had to run around for 90 minutes, just stands in the goal and ball comes to him, does what he has to do.
Just does what he has to do, Rich.
Don't get me started. I have come across this manager, not him specifically, but this manager, and I'm sure all you goalkeepers listening in, you've had this manager over and over again. Look, we heard Roy Keane last week, I think it was, saying, you know, effectively, that's your job. Save it, that's your job. Well, in the same way that a striker, score it, that's your job. No, look, when they do something fantastic, the reason he gets man of the match is not just this one moment. His all-round game was very solid again. The intricate details that he won't notice because he's an outfield, ex-outfield player, coach, whatever. He won't know the intricate details of goalkeeper. But also, when you do something massive in a massive moment, how often do we see it the opposite, where someone gets the winner? And they're given man of the match. They might have been rubbish for half of the game, but they go and pop up with a winner, a fantastic winner, and they give a man of the match on the back of it. The fact that it was such a key moment and the fact that his all-round game was very solid, that's why he's got man of the match. But yeah, again, I think that this isn't going to bother Dean Henderson, of course. He's, you know, I think he's the perfect type of goalkeeper for the likes of a Chris Wilder, because I think if you're a slightly weaker character, then I could imagine Chris Wilder would get on your case and you'd struggle. You need to be so confident when you've got that type of manager.
In his defence, Chris Wilder, I do think it was partly in jest as well. I think he's just starting to subtly put things out via the media to maybe get into Dean Henderson's head and maybe let Manchester United know as well. That because, listen, they want him for another season. Absolutely they do. They want him permanently, but whether that will happen or not, we don't know. But I think Chris Wilder is just keeping his cards close to his chest on that one. Alex McCarthy. Southampton lost at the weekend to Newcastle. He did, however, make an incredible triple save and a penalty save too.
And the penalty save was fantastic. But you're right, the triple save, and I said this to you off air and I stand, but I can't think of many better triple saves. The first one, the decision to come off your line, spread, perfect decision at the point of execution, made himself very big. The second one, to be able to read the situation, being on the floor and get a little bit of spring almost off his backside in order to get up to his left and make a second save. It's the third save, which you don't see at first. But again, he's just read where the ball is likely to go, threw himself into an area, barely even looking at the ball because he's not able to, and for it to hit his hand and just go around the post. Three top-class saves, one after the other. Absolutely brilliant. The penalty save as well. Full stretch down to his left. Use that 6'5" frame. So powerful. I got to work with him for a period of time at Brentford. Now, albeit it wasn't the best period of time for him. Had a tough run. But I could see there a lot of the credentials that he's got. He's got a lot of the qualities you'd want in a top-class goalkeeper. That four fantastic saves, and certainly as a triple save, I can't remember any better. And certainly if you guys can remember any better, let us know.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
This is something of a collector's item this week, Richard, for keeper capers. A rare couple of Edison errors in the Manchester derby at the weekend at Old Trafford. A rain-soaked, a sodden Old Trafford that maybe had some part to play in it. You've already spoken about wet conditions, of course. The first goal from Anthony Martial and the second from Scott McTominay.
Yeah, this wasn't the Edison that we've seen all so often over the last few years. The first one, do you know, I'll defend him to an extent. And the reason being is that, again, I've faced this shot. We've all faced this shot where it's a difficult one because of the fact that it's bobbling. So when you get a real true strike of the ball that's coming towards you and the ball's spinning, you can see it and you can judge it. And if it's in the air and there's nothing interfering, sometimes you can catch it. When it's a ball that's kind of bobbling like that, the difficulty is the flight, because there isn't necessarily a flight. And you're having to then judge at which point you hit the ground. You know, people always say the ones that bounce just in front are the hardest. And the reason being is that, of course, the bounce isn't always consistent. Sometimes you do get a slightly different bounce. And this one's an awkward one. When you watch it in super slow motion, which we did hundreds of times, it looks dreadful, really bad. When you watch it in real time, very clever free kick. Great strike, by the way, on the ball coming over his shoulder. Brilliant strike. Hit it into the ground, and it's bounced again at the point where it gets to Edison. Again, we're talking centimetres. He gets himself down. The technique is okay on the dive. Not brilliant, but it's okay. He just mistimes it by a split second to try and trap it into the deck. And of course, you mistime it literally split second, and it's costly. I then think that affected him thereafter, which I wouldn't normally say about Edison. He's normally one to bounce back. He kind of has that look about him where he almost looks like he's rolled out of bed every time you watch him. But it's kind of nice. Like, he's so chilled out, so relaxed. He had a moment second half. The ball came back to him and he just looked too relaxed. Went to have a touch and someone closing him down. I think it was Martial
Martial. And to be fair, one heck of a recovery.
Well, it was. He should have scored. Martial did get there first. In the end, it's a tackle on the line to get himself out of trouble. But again, just really sloppy. Something we're not expecting from Edison. Really bad touch. And then the goal, I mean, credit to McTominay that he's read what Edison was trying to do. But I just got that feeling that Edison wasn't all there. Now, look, that can happen sometimes. And I've actually had it where things you wouldn't even consider, but maybe I've had a bad night's sleep before a game. Now, as a goalkeeper, it's not an aerobic position. So it's not one where you can kind of run yourself out of it and get away with it by running lots in a game. No, you need to be sharp. You need to be spot on in everything you do. Mentally, you need to be at it. Well, if you haven't had a good night's sleep before the game, or you just feel a bit fatigued or lethargic, your reactions might be a bit slow. Your decision-making might be that little bit worse. You know, and I can't help but feel that Edison wasn't 100%. Now, I don't know why that was. I don't know whether he's got certain stresses or things going on. You just never know. But for the Edison that I've seen over the last few years, this wasn't him.
Yeah, we'll give him that one. I think he's allowed one bad day at the office, isn't he? You've already spoken about Roy Keane, by the way. He mentioned at halftime that he did not know what is going on at the moment with these goalkeepers, Richard. He did say a top-class goalkeeper has to save it. But what's going on, mate? What is going on with these goalkeepers?
Do you know what? The bit that bugs me, and I liken Roy Keane to the schoolyard bully. And do you know what happens with the schoolyard bully is that everybody agrees with him because they want to be on the right side of the schoolyard bully. So as soon as he's making these comments, everybody else is chiming in like, yeah, what is going on? They're fine. There's some brilliant goalkeeper performances going on at the moment. Now, yes, do you know what? There was a couple of errors in the Everton-Man United game. Yes, Edison's made a couple of errors. You do wonder now, and this actually is a thing, where goalkeepers will be aware as to who the commentators are. That's the thing, by the way. Like, I remember when I played in the FA Cup semi-final, I knew that Alan Hansen, I knew that Gary Lineker would be commentating on that game or making opinions on it. So it is. I do wonder whether goalkeepers are in the back of their mind thinking, okay, Roy Keane, the hater of goalkeepers, is going to be commenting on me. Maybe, maybe not. But the fact that his comments are like they are, again, he hasn't broken down the goals at all. The first one, he's given us no technical insight whatsoever other than the classic, he has to save it. That's the one. He has to save it. Like, okay, yeah, do you know what? He probably should save it, but why? Give us a little bit more, Roy. But he doesn't. It's just very cut and dry, poor goalkeeping. What's going on with goalkeepers? So negative. The truth is, goalkeepers are performing as they're performing, the same as they have for a long, long time. I don't see any massive downturn at the moment.
A very quick word on David De Gea as well while we're on this game. 4 clean sheets now in his last 5. Again, we don't have to judge goalkeepers purely by clean sheets. And part of that is a lot down to the fact that United now seem to have a more settled defence, especially with that back three, Lindelof, Maguire and Shaw, Eric Bailly coming in and doing a job as well. But he seems to have maybe got over his potential problems that he had.
I'll tell you what it is for me, is it's body language. And we're starting to see, watching him in the game against City, it was the body language of De Gea of old. And there has been times, we mentioned the mistake against Everton, and that like defeatist almost, shoulders slump, shaking his head for the next 10 minutes. And you can see that it's really bothered him. Whereas against City, he looked vibrant, energetic, made a couple of good saves, really good one down low to his left. He looked really springy in everything that he did. I really enjoyed watching De Gea. Something else we need to touch on as well, by the way, when probably goes back to the Roy Keane comment about what's going on with goalkeepers. Let's not forget, this time of the year is the worst time of the year for goalkeepers, given that the weather is horrendous at the moment. Now, I don't care what anyone says, it's a simple thing, but you're playing in the rain. It's been, you know, it's hammering it down in the Manchester Derby, for instance, and it's windy as anything. Ball's moving all over the place. Decision-making can be that little bit more difficult. This is the worst time of the year for goalkeepers. Now, if you disagree with me, by all means, let me know, but I'm pretty sure that most people will agree February and early March is the worst time for goalkeepers. The best time is the start of the season and the end of the season. You know, Spain have it that little bit easier because the conditions are that little bit easier. So this is the hardest time of the year for goalkeepers. And credit to De Gea, because I do think that we're starting to see the best of him again. And I've got a feeling he'll finish the season very strongly, which will give United a really interesting decision this summer with their goalkeeping trio.
Commentary Corner. I don't think we'll dwell too much on this week's Commentary Corner. We'll do it very quickly because I couldn't actually believe what I was hearing when I was watching the game between Everton, between Chelsea and Everton, I should say, yesterday. Alan Smith was the co-commentator for the first goal, Mason Mount, right? A nice little swivel, great finish, decent goal. Alan Smith didn't have much of the goal to go at. Pickford beaten at his near post. Could he, should he have done better? Yes, perhaps. Although Mount does strike it cleanly right in the corner. Listen, the near post thing, I know we've spoken about it to death, so we won't go too much into that. But on this particular instance, I was like, how is that his near post? He's almost straight on.
I know. I felt exactly the same thing. It was incredibly frustrating watching it. And I almost felt it took away from Mount. It was a brilliant bit of skill. Credit to him. Ball came in. Touch, bang. Great finish. And actually, by the way, Pickford, I thought, generally played pretty well yesterday. Made a couple of really good saves. The thing is at the moment is that people are out for Pickford, you can tell. So they're looking for things. And the fact they've gone down 4-0, no doubt the papers will have mentioned that first goal, near post. But you're right. If that is the near post, then basically there always needs to be a near post or a far post, which isn't necessarily true. Because when you're quite central, a goalkeeper is going to cover the middle. So whether it goes in the left or right is irrelevant, really. Near post, it's when you come in on an angle, as far as I'm concerned. That's the definition of a near post. And that's when you can sometimes blame the goalkeeper, where the angle is very tight, because really at that point you should be covering the near post. But no, I thought Jordan Pickford's positioning was fine. He got a good dive away. It's an excellent finish that snuck in the corner. I think you have to credit the goal as opposed to look at the goalkeeper there.
Okay, moving into the Football League, we'll start in the Championship naturally. Simon Sluger, Luton goalkeeper, has recently kept 3 clean sheets on the bounce. That was in February. He kept another one this weekend at Wigan. He's picked up a couple of man of the match performances too. He made a very good save late on from Michael Jacobs. I'll give you some quotes from Neil Warnock in a minute. But just firstly, good to see him back in form. Of course, we've spoken to James Shea on the Goalkeepers Union podcast, but Sluger has come in to replace James Shea this season. He kept a clean sheet, made a good save. He also, like Henderson, produced a bit of a celebration afterwards.
He did. It meant a lot to him. And look, he's had a tough time, it's fair to say. They bought him for a record fee at the time. They obviously put a lot of faith in him to come in and hit the ground running. And I think by his own admission, he didn't. He made some basic errors. How often do we see it, though, when someone comes in from abroad? And unfortunately for the likes of a Luton, they don't necessarily have the time to bed someone in. You see with a lot of the players in the Premier League, Liverpool have been very good at this. They bring someone in from abroad. And the first 6 months, effectively, is they'll give them a little bit of game time here and there and allow them to understand the territory. And then at some point, they become regulars. For Sluger, I just wonder whether that transition was difficult, because we are now starting to see the best of him. And you're right, I've seen quite a lot in recent weeks. You can see he's got all the credentials. Great size, moves well, athletic. The save that he made and the one that he was celebrating, absolutely celebrate that. Fantastic save. And we're starting to see now what Luton saw in the summer and why they invested such a large amount of money in him.
I did mention Neil Warnock. He was on Quest, the Quest highlights on Saturday evening, and they flagged it, which is a good thing, him and Colin Murray. Neil Warnock said, "This is what goalkeeper coaches train to do. Low down, to your left. Best save of the day. He deserves it. Is that fair enough?
I mean, yeah, look, again, it's one of these comments. It's, you know, it's what they're paid to do. It's what they're trained to do. Well, of course, in the same way that Messi trains to be like Messi is, or a striker gets the ball in, great touch, great finish. You know, Mason Mount, we talk about that goal, brilliant goal, touch with his left, shot with his right. I could quite comfortably just dismiss it. Oh, that's what he's trained to do. He's been doing that for the last 15 years. Of course you should be able to do that. He's paid X amount a week. No, it's a brilliant bit of skill that we need to look at and be, that's fantastic. How many human beings in this world can do what Simon Sluger did at the weekend? Very few. And actually, some of them will be playing in the Premier League. Some of them play in the Championship. That's about it. There's not many people in the world that could have saved that football. Therefore, it deserves credit.
It does indeed. Another man who potentially deserves credit, this might be up for debate, is Jonathan Woodgate for bringing in Dejan Stojanovic. Now, he is a goalkeeper that came in January for around £1 million from Swiss side St Helens. He's played in the reserves, if you can call it that, the under-23s these days. Hasn't played in the first team until the weekend. He came in for Ainsley Pears in a massive relegation six-pointer at the Valley against Charlton. He did keep a clean sheet, massive win for Middlesbrough, their first since New Year's Day. But I couldn't help thinking that Pears had maybe been hard done by here.
Yeah, I mean, the equalising goal in the previous game, I think, was a foul. I know we touched on it, and I certainly...
Against Nottingham Forest with Lewis Graben.
Yeah, I think it was a foul, and if it is because of that, I mean, they sort of took focus away from that. And look, in the end, the fact they've got a clean sheet and they've won, and it was a massive, massive game against Charlton, it's really given them a big advantage now in terms of staying up. So, in the end, you can't criticise. If you're Ainsley Pears, I actually did exchange a couple of messages with him just to sort of say to him, you know, keep doing what you're doing, basically. And just and he was really good about it. In fairness, his comments before, I know that Jonathan Woodgate touched on this as well, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying, the response he gave to me was so professional. Look, if someone had said at the start of the season that Ainsley Pears would have done what he's done to this point, I don't think many people would have believed it, because for such a young goalkeeper to show such maturity and play to the level that he has consistently... huge. His CV is massive now for the age that he is. And every now and then, managers have to make these decisions. Now, in the end, it has worked out to be a positive one. Who knows what would have happened had Ainsley Pears played this game? They probably still would have won 1-0. But for Ainsley Pears, in a similar way to Kepa coming out of the team, the goal for him now is get your head down, work harder than ever, and know that another chance is coming soon. It might be this season, it might not. But at some point, he's going to go on and have a huge career. And the fact that he's going to have these kind of things to deal with, every goalkeeper has to deal with this sometimes. I certainly had it at times when you felt that it was hugely unfair, but this is a real test of character. Do you then go away, use the opportunity to work on your game, know that opportunity is coming again? By the way, it's a lesson for every young goalkeeper out there. And when it does come again, you're better than ever.
Into League One, what a save in the game between Peterborough and Portsmouth. Another big game at the top of the table. League One, by the way, is completely bonkers. Cannot wait to see how that one pans out. Oxford won at the weekend. They started in eighth. They're now in third. Just incredible scenes there. But Alex Bass for Portsmouth. He's come in. He's making a few sounds now. Of course, he came in. He replaced Craig McGivray. Kenny Jackett, the Portsmouth manager, is putting a lot of faith in a young goalkeeper. Peterborough did win the game, but he made one of the best saves that you will see this season from Ivan Toney.
I'll agree with that. I'll also agree with League One's my favourite league this season. It's just incredible. You mentioned Oxford, they're 2-0 down at the weekend as well, and they came back to win 3-2. And looks like Coventry are looking good for promotion, but certainly after that, who knows what's going to happen. Now, you mentioned that Craig McGivray, of course, was the regular number one, called up to the Scotland squad several times as well, and things progressing so nicely. Looked like one of the very best goalkeepers in that league. So to make the decision to play Alex Bass ahead was a big decision from the manager, but I think we're starting to see that there is something a little bit special about this lad. And you're right, that save, I don't know if you can physically react from that distance, because you're only 4 or 5 yards away and he's absolutely smashed it above his head. So I think this is a mixture of brilliant reactions, but also of reading the game. You know, you've got that and you can imagine it. Ball's coming in from wide. You can see that the striker's going to get there first. You've then got a decision where there's almost a bit of prediction. When they're only 4 or 5 yards out, well, you can't necessarily react. So you've got to predict where they're going to go. And I think it's a blend of incredible reactions, but also incredible knowledge of the game. And looking at it come in, reading the body shape, and semi-predicting where it's going to go. But you're right. I haven't seen a better save all season, genuinely. A reaction save. This is by far the best reaction save I've seen all season.
I just keep watching it over and over because, like you said, it almost defies logic. I just don't know how he's managed to do it. Toney is like 6 yards out, maybe slightly closer.
Smashed it.
And he absolutely rifles it. But the reactions, as you say, brilliant. In the same game, Christy Pym bagged an assist for Tony, who eventually got on the score sheet. Great finish, managed to lob it over Alex Bass, who had advanced. But it wasn't from a dead ball, this assist from Christy Pym, the Peterborough goalkeeper. It was a pass back that was bobbling on the London Road surface, and he's caught it so sweetly, and it has zinged. A couple of bounces, yes, the defender might have done better, but Tony's latched on. Goal.
Fantastic. They talk in golf about getting a flyer. And it happens sometimes when the ball will land in the rough and you go to hit it. And for whatever reason, you get an extra 10 yards and you don't meet. It kills you in golf because you end up going over the green. But it was like one of them where the ball's come back and he's obviously swung, wanted to get a good connection. He got the most pure, perfect connection. And it's actually bounced just outside the opposition's penalty box. And you're right, Ivan Toney, what a finish. Credit to him. I'm sure, look, you'd never expect to get an assist. His main thought would have been, let me just get it down the field, get it as far as I possibly can. But he's caught it absolutely sweet. And again, another team. When you've got the likes of Christy Pym, who's had a very solid season, it's fair to say you've got Ivan Toney up front. They're another team that are going to be there or thereabouts.
They certainly are. Just talking of punts, by the way, in League Two, Christopher Mufumbi on loan from Blackpool at Morecambe. They lost at Newport, but he whacked one down the pitch at Rodney Parade. Very nearly scored.
Well, he did. And I mentioned earlier about the conditions, and I can't help but feel that this was a good example because what for those that have seen it, I'm sure it's not just me, it's such an extraordinary bounce. And I can't help but feel that there must have been a bit of wind assisting or the pitch being that little bit harder than normal. But it just took an extraordinary bounce and it very nearly caught him out. And it was... I mean, it could have been one of those moments. It would have been highly embarrassing had it have gone in the corner, of course. But credit to Tom King. Got back, scurried well, and managed to get it around the post. Tom King, another one, by the way, has had a very solid season. Certainly been looked at internationally, etc. So, no, big save from him in the end. But it's one of them. I remember seeing Tim Howard getting done from one of these in a reserve game years ago. No one will remember this. I'm sure you can Google it. But Tim Howard got done by one. I think it was against Man United. Something like that, if I remember. But it was one where it's just taken the most extraordinary bounce. And it does happen sometimes. And you have to be so wary. Certainly when you're playing against the wind, you have to be so, so careful when you're facing long balls. In fact, I'll tell you a classic one was Ben Foster. When Paul Robinson did Ben Foster at White Hart Lane. In fact, I sat on the bench for that game. And he just completely misjudged it, where he'd taken up a position. And the moment it bounces, you realise you're in trouble. And if it gathers a bit of pace from the bounce, it can do you very easily.
Interesting. I've not seen the Tim Howard one that he got done by. He did score, though, didn't he, against Bolton? I can't remember how long ago it was. But I think this was the goal where it was wet again at Goodison Park. And for some reason, you know, a one in a million chance, it somehow landed, this is what people suggested, on the sprinkler valve on the pitch. So it's given it a much bigger bounce. So goalkeeper scoring, or nearly scoring, we always love it. We are going to finish, Richard, because you've got to quickly get up. Where are you off to?
I'm to Manchester today.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Okay, well, small nods to Tim Krul, of course, penalty heroics for Norwich against Spurs in the week. We've got to mention the Ajax youth team goalkeeper, Dan Reiziger. He had an incredible performance in the week. He came on in the 93rd minute. He saved three penalties and scored the winning penalty in their UEFA Youth League. It was a last 16 tie against Atletico Madrid. We'll spare a thought for George Long, of course, at Hull. Maybe we'll get on to him next week. But a nice story to finish, Rich?
Let's do it.
Nice. Okay, well, I spoke to Tony Warner, the ex-Liverpool and Millwall goalkeeper, recently on the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. Really good interview, really good chat. We'll get him on the podcast, by the way, because I'm sure he's got many, many stories to tell. And one he did tell was in one of his most memorable games, he said, for Millwall. It was against Crystal Palace, and there was a moment that he spoke of. I'll play it for you now.
It was in injury time, and they've either had the corner of the free kick, and they put it in, and I've come out and caught the cross. And as I've landed, I remember just landing next to Thomas Meira and just looking at him, and he just looked at me, and I just looked at his goal. He set off running towards the goal. I know that you just think to yourself, this could be like a pivotal moment. This, it's 1-0 away at Crystal Palace. You've already saved the penalty. If you can stick this in, the roof will come off the place. You know what I mean? And I went for it, but I pulled it. Went out for a goal kick or something. But I remember the look on our faces. We were just thinking, like, weird, you know what I mean? Mm. Probably the most memorable game I've got of playing for Millwall. That would have absolutely topped it off. But, you know, it went to be.
I love the thought of two goalkeepers catching eyes literally in their box. It was almost like they were suspended in time. He looked at Myra. Myra looked at him. Myra thought, I know exactly what you're going to do, but he pulled it.
That's fantastic. By the way, Tony Warner, and you're right, he's a massive, massive character. Funnily enough, I had a bit of back and forth with myself over the weekend. And the reason being, and this is a nice actually opportunity to plug something else we've got going on, we've got a goalkeeping dinner at the end of the month. And David James is our star guest, and there's going to be a lot of professionals down there, a lot of goalkeeper coaches that have already confirmed. So I did text Tony Warner and offered him an invite to come. Of course, David James, an ex-colleague, so I thought I'd be really excited by this. He put, "Morning, mate. I'm already busy that night, but thanks for the offer. I think I'll save my ears from JMO's recollection of his Dancing with the Stars days."
Brilliant. What I like about this as well, as I was going to say to you off air, oh, mate, you know, I've got his number, so we can probably get him on the podcast. Already talking to him. So
I know, there we go. I know everybody in the goalkeeping world, Matthew. You know this.
Lovely. What a way to end, Richard. Thank you for your time. Go and enjoy yourself in Manchester.
Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, in association with Goalkeepers 365, GK Icon Academies and Love Sport Radio. We'll see you next time.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.